Go ahead and stand with me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'll begin there at verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come again now and we ask that you please be with the service. Lord, it's an encouragement to hear about folks saved and folks coming and getting baptized. Lord, thank you so much that we still get to see that every week, Lord, people being moved. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you please bless the service now, be it the special and the preaching then to follow. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
The Lord looked down and saw the sin of man and knew he'd have to make salvation's plan. To save the world, a sacrifice would have to be made, so I to sin would no more be a slave. He couldn't save himself and still save me. My salvation came to earth to die upon a tree. He bore my sin and shame, rose again to set me free. He couldn't save himself and still save me. I can't explain the love that fills my heart to know came down and took my part. He took my place on Calvary's rugged cross, so I would not suffer any loss. He couldn't save himself and still save me. My salvation came to earth to die upon a tree. He bore my sin and shame, rose again to set me free. He couldn't save himself and still save me. He couldn't save himself and still save me. My salvation came to earth to die upon a tree. He bore my sin and shame, rose again to set me free. He couldn't save himself and still save me. He bore my sin and shame, rose again to set me free. Couldn't save himself and still save me.
Thank you for that good song this evening. Look at verse number 13 in our text here, 1 Timothy 4. Paul told Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, all day long I've felt like this thing has been so loud. It sounds loud to me. Is it loud out there to you tonight? Is it loud at all? Maybe it's loud up here, Brother Payne. I don't know, up on the monitors, maybe just a tad. But if I am not comfortable with it, it'll be in the back of my mind the whole time. And I got a one-track mind, it seems like, so that'd be a bad thing. We have a lot of guests in tonight. Glad that you're here. This is one of those messages that's more kind of designed for our church, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. We'll learn some things along the way. But I need to talk to our church tonight. And hopefully get us ready. I want to speak on this subject, come and get it. Look at what he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You'll understand the title in just a little bit as we go a little further into the message, come and get it. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Father, for sending Jesus to the world. And he did not save himself so that he could save us. We're thankful for the love and compassion that was shown on behalf of Jesus to go to the cross and bear our sins in his own body upon the tree, to die and shed his blood to pay our debt, to go to that burial tomb, that tomb of burial for 3 days and 3 nights, and of course the great part that he got up and walked out alive, victorious. which we've been celebrating on this fine Easter day. Father, we're thankful. Help us, I pray, tonight. Speak to our hearts. Prepare us, I pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. The Bible is an amazing book. Now, I don't have to tell you that, but it sure feels good to say it. It doesn't hurt to hear it. Amen. It is an amazing book. Now, the New Testament contains several letters written to either churches or groups of people who were scattered throughout the area in different churches, if you will. And many of those, of course, came from the pen of the Apostle Paul. And then the New Testament contains the Gospels, but it also contains four personal letters written to men from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote two personal letters to Timothy. He wrote one each to Titus and to Philemon. And it amazes me that God made personal letters part of his canon of Scripture. And so Paul sits down with a pen, being moved, of course, by the Holy Ghost, and writes a personal letter. These are personal letters from the pen of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, his preacher boy, to Titus, to Philemon. And yet they're inspired of God, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so God puts it in the canon of Scripture, and you and I have the privilege to benefit from personal letters that were inspired of God from the pen of the Apostle Paul. It's an amazing thing to me. Amazing. Now, three of the four personal letters were written to men who were preachers and or pastors. Timothy was a pastor. Most folk believe that he pastored the church in Ephesus there for quite a long period. Titus seemed to be an evangelist, maybe a church planter, Brother Hassler. You know, he was told to stay on the island of Crete. He was told to set in order the things that were wanting. And then he was told to ordain elders in every city. So maybe kind of a church planter or an evangelist, all right, while Timothy was the pastor. So the two letters to Timothy are very interesting and important to men who are pastors. And you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, pastors will be around till Jesus comes in the rapture. And that's a blessing, I guess. It's a blessing, all right. So some men will be in some form of pastoring a church until Jesus comes. And then pastors won't be needed during the tribulation period, all right. So now look at verse number 12. In verse number 12, Paul speaks specifically to Timothy, addressing the matter of Timothy's youth. Let no man despise thy youth. I have an entire lecture. Usually takes me 2 weeks to teach it at homiletics class on overcoming your youth. Overcoming your youth. I'm talking to 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old, and occasionally 25-year-old men. And one of the biggest stumbling blocks they'll have going out into the ministry is their youth. But their youth doesn't have to be a stumbling block, okay? And so I give a whole a lecture out of this passage right here where Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. And then I love what he told him in verse 12. He said, but be thou an example of the believer. And I try to drive home to these young men not to labor or serve under the pressure of being the best. Do your best, but you don't have to be the best. You know what God told him to be? An example. You be an example. We're not to measure or compare. Those that measure themselves among themselves and measure themselves by themselves are unwise, the Bible says. And if you're going to figure out if you're the best, you're going to have to compare. And comparisons are never adequate, never right, because only God knows what's really behind every story. So take all the pressure off of trying to be the best. Do your best and be an example to your church members, to the people you pastor, okay? And that's what he told. And he gave him several areas, if you will, in which he was to be an example. Be an example in word, in conversation. Word there doesn't mean Bible. Word there means in his talk. In conversation, that's his behavior, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Then he says, in verse number 13, till I come. Now, he's not talking about Jesus is coming in the rapture. He said, till I come. Paul is talking here about the time that he's coming to see Timothy. He's making plans to come see Timothy. And he says, Timothy, until I come, look at what he says in verse 13, give attendance to three things. He says, give attendance to reading and exhortation and doctrine. Now, the word attendance means to be a part of, to participate in, to give attention to be involved in. So when he told Timothy to give attendance, he was saying participate, give attention, be involved in, be a part of these three things, reading and exhortation and doctrine. Now let's look at these for just a moment tonight, beginning with the first one, reading. Now what he's talking about here is he's talking about reading books. Now, I believe, of course, this would be a reference to the Scriptures that were available to Timothy. But I also believe Paul was here exhorting Timothy to read books. Any kind of good books. Paul made a distinction between books and the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13, when he told Timothy, do thy diligence to come before winter. He said, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus and Troas. And then he said, also, I want you to bring the books. Now, watch it. And especially the parchments. So he made a distinction between books written by men and the parchments on which would be written the Scripture. You with me tonight? Okay. So he told, so books were important to the Apostle Paul. And he's writing to a young man here, a young pastor. And he says, Timothy, you need to involve yourself. You need to participate. You need to give attention to. You need to be involved in the reading of good material. Now, friend, this is for everybody here tonight. Reading is a necessity for everybody. And especially for anyone who is placed in a position of leadership. Learning to read is essential. Young people, boys and girls, and teenagers, I want you to listen real close now. This is for you. The three words, I hate reading, is a very ignorant statement. That's an ignorant statement. I hate to read. That's not smart. If you don't like to read, you need to train yourself to read. Reading is the key to learning. Usually somebody who says, I hate reading, is the TV-holic or the video game addict who can't pull his fingers off the little punch pad for 2 or 3 hours or a couple hours a week to sit down and read a good book. But somehow they find time to read the comic page and other forms of written entertainment. Friend, when you cease to read, you cease to learn. And so those of you young people that enjoy reading, you're off to a good start. Maintain it. And parents, really it's up to you and me as parents to whether our kids like it or not, they should be taught to read. And by the way, Dad, if you made the mistake of being a teenager and a young man, as a young man, by saying dumb things like, I hate to read, don't tell your kids about that. And don't tell your boy that says, that, yeah, I was the same way, man. Hey, that's okay. You're cool. Why don't you grow up a little bit? Have some maturity. Do what's best for your child. Put a good book in their hand. Amen. Summertime will soon be upon us, friends. School will be out. You ought to be in the library. You ought to be in this library or that library here in town, finding good books and put them in the hands of your children. And by the way, this is good for the adults too. Adults ought to be. You know what my problem is? I got too many books started at one time. It takes me forever. I'm in 2 or 3 good books right now, and I just started another one today, just a little bit ago. And I thought, man, I'm going to read this. So now I've got 4 going. All right. But there's a time and a place to read books, all right? So I'll put them in the right time and the right place, and I'll get through them. Read, 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 read. Timothy, give attendance to reading. Now, drop down to the third one in verse number 13. I'm going to skip the middle one, come back to that shortly. He said, give attendance to reading. Then he said, give attendance to doctrine. Now, what is doctrine? Well, doctrine simply means teaching. Doctrine is essential in order to be a well-balanced pastor and preacher. Doctrine is the teachings of God's Word. God has doctrine. God has teaching about Himself. God has doctrine. He has teaching about man. This book has doctrine. It has teaching about sin, about salvation, about heaven, about hell, about Israel, about the church, and many, many other things and other topics in His Bible. God has doctrine about many, many things, okay? So give attendance to doctrine. Now, I believe Paul was telling Timothy to study. Study. This would include reading, but more specifically here in doctrine, the study of the Scriptures. Because Paul told him again in the second letter in chapter 4, he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, Timothy, don't get up in the pulpit and just scream and holler and yell and spit. without having some doctrine in your message. Some content. We went through a period in this country in the independent fundamental Baptist pulpits, and some places, I guess, still today, where folks, there just really was a lot of dynamic yelling and hollering about nothing. Our sermons need to be full of content. Now, I'm not the premier preacher. I'm not the example preacher. I'm still learning every time I get up to preach. But what you got this morning was a message full of doctrine. Full of doctrine. Full of it. Bible verse, full of doctrine. When you get up to preach, Timothy, don't just scream and yell and tell people what to do and what to believe and how to behave without telling them why. And the why would be the doctrine. The doctrine shown from the Scripture. That's what he's telling Timothy here. Give attendance to reading. I think the word reading there is, it pertains more to books than even to the reading of the Word of God. All that would be included. I think the word doctrine here is his pastoral ministry in the pulpit. Study and teach. And man, when you preach, I believe there's a place for teaching. I still believe there's a difference in teaching and preaching. I believe there's a place for teaching. I believe there's a place for preaching. And I think every preacher ought to have a little teach in it. Doctrine. Doctrine, 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 doctrine. You know, the truth of the matter is, most times if you show people, I mean, if you point the Bible truth to them and they can sink their teeth into it, but they like that because they can base part of their life of faith on what God says if you give them doctrine, okay? So he says doctrine. Now, let's go to that subject of exhortation, the middle one in verse number 13. Exhortation. What is Paul referring to when he uses the word exhortation? Well, the best dictionary for the Bible is the Bible, okay? Now, I like to use Webster's, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But the best dictionary for the Bible is the Bible. The first mention of the word exhortation is in Luke chapter 3 in verse number 18. Don't turn there. I'll read it to you. It's talking about John the Baptist. Now listen, because here it is. This is what the Scripture says. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. Now, did you hear that? The word exhortation is used the first time in the same sentence with the word preaching. Listen again, talking about John the Baptist and many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. So, exhortation is a form of preaching. Again, listen to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove. Rebuke, exhort. So exhortation is a part of preaching. The word or some form of the word exhortation is used 36 or 34 times in the New Testament, and most of those times it is in some reference to preaching. Exhortation is a particular kind of preaching. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 8, the Bible lists exhortation as one of the spiritual gifts. He that exhorteth, let him do it, I think the Bible says, with simplicity or something like that. So the word exhortation is a gift. Exhortation is one of the spiritual gifts. Let me tell you what Webster said it was. He said it is incitement to that which is good or commendable, to excite or to give strength, spirit, or courage. Okay? So this is one of the three things that Paul told Timothy to give attention to be a part of, to participate in. And by the way, I believe with all of my heart, that's why I believe that you can stand and you can teach a lesson in a Bible class or a Wednesday night service or Sunday school or something, and you can teach through it, and it doesn't necessarily involve your emotion, but I believe exhortation demands your emotion. Demands it. Because listen again, incitement to that which is good or commendable, to excite or to give strength, spirit, or courage. I like a preacher who lets the truth of God's Word move through his whole person, his mind, his heart, his spirit, and his emotion. I believe that's all wrapped up in the word preaching. An exhortation, if you will. Okay? So this is one of the things. Now, give attendance to exhortation, Timothy. This exhortation could be a reference to Timothy's own preaching. In other words, he says, Timothy, when you preach, make sure that you don't neglect exhortation. Man, you make exhortation a priority in your preaching. You make it a priority, okay, in your preaching. But it also could mean that Timothy needed to be exhorted himself. Timothy, you put yourself in the place of exhortation. You find a service. You find a pulpit somewhere where there's somebody preaching who's got the anointing of God on him and the Word of God before him, who is reared back and preaching the Word of God and exhorting people, and you put yourself in the pew, you put yourself on the bench, you put yourself on the seat, and you soak up that exhortation. I believe it's talking about Timothy himself. I believe it's talking about Timothy. Look over, if you will, please, at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Turn back a few pages to the book of 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse number 3. I think we read this verse 3 or 4 weeks ago on a Sunday night, but on a different subject. So let's go back there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 3. Timothy, give attendance to reading. Put yourself into a good book and read it and give attention to it. Participate in reading and do the same thing with doctrine and do the same thing with exhortation. Put it in your messages and then get some for yourself. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse number 3. Paul is contrasting the meaninglessness of speaking in tongues compared to the value of edifying or preaching, okay, in this chapter. Now look at verse number 3. But he that prophesieth, that's preaching here in verse 4, chapter 14, verse 3, he that prophesieth or preacheth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. If you prophesy, you should edify, which means to build up. We talked about that. You should exhort, which means to incite people and excite people to do good with strength and courage and serve the Lord and comfort. Do you know that's a good verse right there for men going into the ministry with their preaching. Their preaching should edify, it should exhort, and it should comfort. And 2 Timothy, preaching should reprove, preaching should rebuke, and preaching should exhort. All right? Now, all of this, folks, to simply say this tonight, this is where I'm headed. Preachers need preaching. Preachers need preaching. I am up to my head and beyond with stories of pastors falling into sin. I'm sick of hearing it. And I heard another instance today. And I had no clue. I had no idea. I said, I'm glad I didn't. It happened some time ago. I hadn't heard about it. I'm glad I hadn't heard about it. But it finally made its way to me today. And a place where I was invited to preach one time. And I couldn't go because of a scheduling conflict. But the pastor had to get out of the ministry because of moral failure. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of it. Absolutely sick of it. It's rampant. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know whatever situation. I don't know all the issues in all these situations. But I'm telling you, something that's hurting our guys in some ways is they just don't take any time to get preached to. And there's not a person anywhere that doesn't need preaching, including the guys that are doing it most of the time. Now, you know, I travel a little bit. You get that. You know I've gone a little bit. A lot of the times when I'm gone, I'm preaching with somebody. You know what that affords me? That affords me the opportunity to sit back and get preached to. And I need it, folks. I need it. I got preached to on Monday night down in the Peoria area at the church where Darlene and Lonnie came from. Had a young man there, Brother Dallas's conference, this Chris Dallas conference. He says, I like to put a young man with the old men. And I like to put the young man up in the pulpit for the first 15 or 20 minutes and then have the old man up. I'm sitting on the platform listening to him talk like that. I don't like this old man stuff, okay? I don't like this at all. But that old young man, he got up in the pulpit there, and boy, he had a text. And I'm telling you what, man, he began to preach. He preached up a house of fire, and God stirred my heart. I need preaching. Preachers need preaching. I'm telling you, the de-emphasizing of preaching goes hand in hand, in my opinion, with the decline of Christian living and influence. God simply and truthfully does something through the vehicle of preaching that He doesn't do through anything else. I believe there's a place for teaching, but I think God does through teaching something different than He does through preaching. I believe that with all of my heart. Everybody needs it. Everybody needs more, not less. And that includes the men that God has called to do it. Preachers need preaching. In homiletics, I teach the young men that they need a time or two every year where they go and they get preaching. You get out, especially these young men who aren't old enough yet in the ministry to be invited to a preaching, to preach in a meeting somewhere with another guest pastor or speaker. They need preaching. That's why sometimes we have men come through here and preach, and I sit out there next to my wife, which I enjoy wonderfully, and sit there with an open Bible, let a man of God take the Word of God and just speak to my heart. I need preaching. We all need it. And this includes preachers. Now, preaching is readily available today on CD recordings. You know that. Internet media, websites, and both past and present. I was talking to somebody. In fact, Brother Caleb just gave out in the class some messages by preachers who are in heaven now. And you can go on the internet and get that. It's wonderful. It's good. But listen, that cannot duplicate the experience of sitting in a service where the anointing of God is on a man and the Holy Spirit of God is working through the preaching, not just in one heart, but in many hearts through the power of the Word of God. You can't duplicate that from a CD. I'm not against them. It's helpful. Now, I encourage you to buy some of Brother Dallas's CDs. Play them in your car. That's better than listening to hours and hours of Mike and Mike or other stuff in the morning. Put a good CD on it. It'll help you. Preaching CD. But you can't duplicate a service where the anointing of God is. You just cannot duplicate that. So preachers need to put themselves in that environment. Now, 3 weeks from tomorrow, Monday night, April 22nd, we open the doors of Faith Baptist Church and we tell preachers, come and get it. Come and get it. Come and get it. 22 preachers, 22 messages. Two every night, Monday through Friday. Three every morning, Tuesday through Friday. Come and get it. And folks, let me just say tonight, we are privileged to open our doors and make that available to preachers for a whole week in April. It's an honor to be able to use this facility to hopefully encourage many men of God through a Spirit-filled preaching service. And I mean that. You know, so Wednesday night when I came up with Brother Bragg for the opening service of Pilots and all, this place was jammed. Many of you were here. It was just jammed. And I thought to myself, this is why we built it. We didn't build it so we could talk about it and just walk around and worship it and say, oh, look at the building. We gave it to use. The building's a tool. And so the people came, and it was just a blessing. Now, listen, last year, 112 different men in full-time positions of ministry came to this meeting. That's a good number of preachers, folks. Now, I understand that included the 22 speakers, and that included our staff, but most of the speakers were in one or more services that they didn't preach. I can't think of any preacher that just came in, preached, and left. All of them stayed for at least one or more of the preaching services, and many of them stayed for two or three days. You know why? Because preachers need preaching. Preachers need preaching. And if you were here last year and a part of it, there was some Holy Ghost anointing on that meeting. No doubt about that. No doubt about it. You sensed it. You experienced it yourself. You felt the move of God. You felt the work of God. You felt. You understand. You understand what I'm talking about. I feel cold air. Are y'all cold tonight? I see heads shaking. We have the fans off for the Joe. Fans are off. Okay. It's not the air conditioning, right? Okay. Very good. Anyway, maybe it's just cool wind blowing. I don't know. But anyway, that cold air. I've been a little bit hesitant to stand before you and promote and advertise this year's conference because I told you last year it was one and done. And I lied. I fully intended for it to be one and done. That wasn't just preacher speak. But sitting right here on Thursday morning, I knew that it was going to come down to a decision to host it again or not. It was a great meeting. It was a great meeting. Hey, it not only did, by the way, one preacher was fully prepared to resign the church, turn it over to a younger man, and during that week, God reinstated him in the ministry. And he stayed in his pulpit, still there today. Now, if that happens to one, that's one. If that happens to one, it's worth the whole week. There are people sitting here tonight who may not be here tonight had it not been for that conference last April. There's something that conferences do for people in your own church. I remember when Frank and Jesse first got saved, man, years ago. And they were coming on Sunday morning. I think, Frank, y'all had gotten baptized, were coming on Sunday morning. Then we went to God Save America. And you guys went. I was scared to death. Oh, man, they'll never come back to church. Amen. You know, all that wild preaching, everything. And that literally lit their fire. Now, I'm telling you, God does something through Spirit-filled anointed preaching. He just does. And so I am 95% sure we won't do one next year. But I am holding out that 5% just in case God says, do this. Folks, not everybody can do this. Not every church has the financial resources. Not every church has the manpower to do this. Okay? I'm not on a campaign to host it every year. I don't want it next year. But I has to die. Those of you that aren't laughing, we know where you were on Wednesday night. Amen. You weren't here. I has to die. I got to get out of the way. Let God do His work the way He wants it done here in this place. Okay? Now, I have no idea about the attendance, like I didn't have last year. I'm going to share my heart with you. I was a little bit disappointed in the attendance overall last year. I thought the building would be jam-packed. It wasn't. It was full. It was nice, comfortable. But it wasn't jam-packed. But you know what? It's really, preachers don't bring people. They come. I was surprised by the number of pastors that came. And preachers, that 112 surprised me. And so I don't think it'll be overflowing. I have no idea how many preachers are coming. I know that Brother Ogden is flying back with his dad and two men in his church. They weren't here. They weren't here at all this time last year. I've heard from other people. We're coming this year. We're coming this year. We're coming this year. Because a lot of those guys have gone out and promoted. And look, the best advertisement is word of mouth. Word of mouth. And they've talked about it. And so I have no idea what to expect. I have no idea. But, you know, what if we just get a good number of preachers, that will be great. So we're opening the doors and we're saying, come and get it, because preachers need preaching. And here's the opportunity to come in and maybe one message from one voice just does what only God can do in that man's life. But, like last year, we have a lot of holes to fill. We have a lot of holes to plug. We have a lot of spaces to fill. We need help. I don't know any other way to do this than just come to you. That's why I say for our visitors here tonight, it's a little bit different kind of service, different kind of message. But I don't know. I to work the phones would take forever. I just come to the church body. We're here on Sunday night. We're here together. And just folks, we need help. And I appreciate the help we had last year. It was tremendous. And we need it again. And I appreciate it, what you did last year. We need ushers. We need ushers in the evenings. We need ushers in the mornings. We don't need as many in the mornings. We need ushers. We need lobby monitor detail men to work to be in the lobby during the services. We have a sign-up sheet on the table in the foyer for ushers and lobby detail. If you could help us with that, fellas, I know that would be a great blessing. I know some of you took off work last year. I appreciate that. I have not asked anybody to take off work. Those of you men that did that, you did it on your own, your own free will. I appreciate it. If you can do that again, even for part of the week or for all of it, it would be a great, great help. We need help. We need help. We need nursery help. Now, that's one thing we overscheduled last year, which is really a blessing. We had 24 sign-ups for every service. We didn't need that. So we have an edited sign-up sheet, ladies. We still have a good number of ladies needed for the nursery. If you can take a whole morning slot again, some of you did that last year. If you can, and we'll swap after the services. If you can only work one service, we'll swap after each service. If you can work a whole morning, that's wonderful. We really need you more than once. So if you can help us in the nursery, please pitch in. and help. And there's nursery sign-up sheets out there. We need help in the nursery. Going to need it all week. All week. Now, Dwight's coming on Tuesday night again, and that's a blessing. I gave Brother Woodward his pick, and I wasn't going to tell him, but I was hoping he'd say Tuesday night, because that's Don Green and Bobby Robertson. You're talking two men in their 80s who'll preach here on Tuesday night, Lord willing. You remember Don Green from last year, the message he brought, and y'all were blessed by that. And I've heard him several times, and he'll be a blessing again. And so Don Green and Bobby Robertson on Tuesday night. You talk about a night to be in the service. That's it. Okay? And so Dwight's helping us on Tuesday night. But we need Monday night. We need help all four mornings. We need help Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Monday. So please pitch in and help. Tonight, let's get started on it, if at all possible. And by the way, I just wrote this to say this. If you sign up, we're counting on you. Now, we've had some instances in the last few special events where folks signed up for things and then didn't come through. And you know, you come to something and you're expecting somebody or something and it doesn't show. Boy, that really throws you in a mess. Okay, so if you say don't get emotional and just think about it and then sign up, because we need you. We're counting on you if you sign up. Choir, you heard the man. He commended you for your song tonight, Brother Hassler. A choir adds something to a service. And you folks are a blessing in a good choir. The song this morning was a blessing. Okay? And we need you. Okay? Do your best. Please, we'll have the same schedule as last year. It won't be till after the first service. So if you work and you work to the, you know, and you can drive in and get here at 7:30, 7:15, you'd be able to sing in the choir. So please help us with the choir. I don't know all the food needs right now. That'll be decided in the next few days. But we'll need some food needs. We'll need some cleaning during the conference, between the services, morning and evening. We'll need preparation the next couple of weeks. Now, tomorrow, we have to pray for Dale Garvin. He's having surgery at 6:30. So I'll be at the hospital at 6 o'clock tomorrow to have prayer with him. And then tomorrow morning, I'll be walking through the buildings. And I don't think it's going to be as extensive as last year, but just making a list on how we can spruce this place up in the next couple 3 weeks. And we need some help in that. So this is how you can be involved. This is the way you can serve. Okay? And friend, this is what this is. This is ministry. This is service. This is saying to God's men and other people who can drive in, look, we'll fix our building up. We'll work the nursery. We'll usher. We'll take care of things. Y'all come and get some preaching. And especially you pastors and evangelists and preachers, you come and get preached to. Because preachers need that. They need that. You know, I was thinking about, you know, God blesses individuals. God blesses churches when churches take care of His men. He does that. This thing we try to practice here and have for these 23 years almost, you know, a evangelist, pastor, missionary stops in on their way through. Like we've had a few times, even this year, we try to give them a $50 gift, $100. Why do you do that? Well, first of all, who knows what they need? And second of all, God blesses that, folks. He blesses that. He blesses that. And I was thinking this afternoon, you remember that great woman over there in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, that great woman of Shunem? And she's in her house, and every day she watches the prophet Elisha pass by. Remember that? And she goes to her husband, and she says, honey, can we do something for that man of God? He said, what do you think? She said, it'd be nice just to make a little room for him and put a bed and a table and a candlestick in there. Now, that's simple, isn't it? Place to sit and eat, something to eat, he could read, and then a place to sleep. Can we put a bed and a table stick and a candlestick and a table in there and just tell him when he's passing by, if he's weary, stop in, rest? And he said, sure. So they made that little place. And Elisha would stop by. Remember that? You remember how that couple was blessed? God did a miracle for them. And it was all based on their care of that prophet of God. All based on it. And, you know, I've said this phrase, used this little statement several times lately. I used it last Sunday night about screaming at the darkness. Screaming at things we don't like doesn't make them go away. We can scream about men falling into sin in the ministry, moral failure and all this nonsense. Or we can do something about it. We can help guys. We can open our doors, pay for the electricity, pay for the air conditioning, pay for the lights, pay for it all, and say, y'all come and we're going to feed you as much as we can, and y'all come and sit and just let the Spirit of God work on your heart, service after service after service. And you know what I happen? I just believe that God will bless us. Now you hear me, and I'm done. It cost us about a little over $22,000 last year to have that conference. Do you realize, though, that last year, the calendar year 2012, we paid more in advance on our mortgage payment than we've ever paid? Now tell me how that works. We put $22,000 into a week's meeting, and yet we have more money left over to put on that mortgage. It saves us thousands of dollars. How does that happen? Well, we ought to just give the $22,000 to the mortgage. Well, you know what? Maybe we should. But I don't know. I'm kind of amazed at how it works. Just kind of stand back and go. It just happens. You can't outgive God. If you do it for the right motive, this is not about come look at us. It's not about come see what we are about. This is not come and let us do. No, this is come and just let us, y'all come and sing and shout and have a good time and get some preaching. And you know what? We'll pay for it as much as possible. We can't pay for the motels and all, but you know what I'm talking about. And somehow, some way, God just takes care of it. That's a blessing, isn't it? Just an absolute blessing. So come and get it. We're going to throw the doors open. We need your help. And I realize part of the 95% of us, I don't know how that we can continue in every spring to have a missions conference and a yard mart and a pilots convention and a revival fires conference. And I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of looking forward to April 28th or 29th. I'm kind of looking forward to it. But it's on. It's on. So we're going to have to get with it, okay? And let's serve the Lord and have a good time doing it. Amen? Let's stand together. And thank you for being here tonight. Visitors, thank you so much for coming. It's a little different type message tonight. And I hope that you'll have patience with us in that way, respect. And hope you're able to come again, be in a regular service. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight for your blessings. I pray that you'll help our church as we move forward to try to serve men of God and be a blessing to people. Be with our folks, Lord. Strengthen them. Many are tired already from all that's been going on here the last several weeks. And give grace and give us strength. Lord, bless us mentally, spiritually. Be ready with, right with you. And Lord, take care of it. Meet the need. May we have a great meeting, I pray. And we look to you to make it what you want it to be. In Jesus' name.